Last week we talked about being in a position where we have our hearts right with God, because His desire for us is our hearts. And then looking at or incorporating some of the phrase I used last week was some of the churchy stuff that we do, and what place does that have, and why do we do things like pray and read the Bible, and why is it important for us to be involved in a church fellowship, and why is it important for us to financially give? Why are those things good things? And so last week we really set out and looked at the Word and saw, you know, all of those things are good things. We'll be talking this week about prayer and the reading of the Word. All of those things are good things, but our hearts have to be right first, because God's desire isn't just that we would pray a whole bunch for the sake of praying a whole bunch. His desire is our hearts. His desire is a relationship with us. And so last week we really talked about the importance then of our relationship with Him being right, and our mindset as we consider giving, and as we consider being involved at church, and as we consider reading the Word, and as we consider prayer, that the point of those things aren't just so that we're doing churchy things. It's not just so that we'll go through the right steps that we need to take and somehow God will like us more when we do. But rather, the purpose and goal is to draw us into a deeper relationship with God and with each other, so that we then, in turn, will indeed be benefited and blessed by that, but that so that our hearts will be in a place where we're in a right relationship with God, because that's His desire of us. That's the primary thing that He wants, is us, is our lives, is our hearts, is our minds. So let's then today open the Word to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, and we're going to start in verse 22. We're going to kind of quickly go through a number of scripture texts and look at a number of examples of individuals who made prayer a priority and whose lives we see prayer regularly coming out. You guys remember the story of Daniel in the lion's den? Remember hearing McKenna? McKenna answered right away. McKenna remembers the story of Daniel in the lion's den. Do you remember why, if you remember that story, do you remember why Daniel was thrown into the lion's den? Okay, it's a couple of worships, and somebody said for praying. And that's right. He prayed, and that he was tricked. I mean, let's be honest, he was duped into it. But what he did to get him arrested was he prayed. And so Daniel, even though it was at the time against the law, he still had a commitment to prayer in which he and his life, even though there would be some kind of consequences that went along with it, he still prayed in his life. You see, he had a routine, and he recognized the importance of prayer. Here in Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 and 23, it says, "Immediately Jesus made the disciples go into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd." He had just fed the 5,000. Verse 23, "After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it." So Jesus, after he had been involved in the miracle of feeding of the 5,000, where he took five loaves and two pieces of fish and was able to bless 5,000 people with the ability for them to eat, after that great miracle, Jesus finds it important for himself and seemingly for his relationship with God to go to a mountainside alone without his disciples and spend some time in prayer. He went there alone and spent some time in prayer. This reminds me of the idea that many have of a prayer closet. Ever heard of a prayer closet before? When I was growing up, I remember thinking, how weird. Why? And of course, my closet's crammed with all the stuff that I had cleaned my room and didn't want to take care of it, so you just throw it in the closet, right? How do you guys clean your room? You guys actually clean your rooms? Even still, a lot of stuff gets crammed into the closet. I know, yeah, I won't go too far beyond that. But as a kid, that's what you clean your room, everything goes in the closet. I'm thinking a prayer closet, I wouldn't even fit in there, but why would I go into the prayer closet anyway? That doesn't make any sense to go into the prayer closet. Well, the idea of a prayer closet, the phrase just basically means being in a place where you are alone. And Jesus recognized the importance of that. He could have taken his disciples with him. He could have gone on the boat and prayed on the boat, right? Isn't Jesus able to pray on a boat? Anybody ever pray on a boat before? I prayed on a boat before. I don't know how many times I've been fishing. Come on, Lord, give me the big one. I prayed on a boat plenty of times. In jest, but sincerely as well. Just quietly being out on a boat and sometimes in a solitary place and sometimes with a cousin or two, praying and spending that time with the Lord. Jesus could have prayed with a whole bunch of people around. He could have prayed in that boat with the disciples as they went across. But he recognized and understood the importance of going to a solitary place, going to a quiet place, and spending that alone time with God in prayer. Let's go over to Mark chapter 1. Mark's the very first book after Matthew. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. It says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up. He left the house and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Again, that recognition of going to a solitary place and spending that quiet time on purpose with his Father, with God. He recognized the importance, and that's something that he did. Now go over to Luke chapter 5. We're going to try to go through these somewhat quickly. Luke chapter 5, verse 16. Right after Mark is the book of Luke. Luke chapter 5, verse 16. Verse 15 says, yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. And then Luke 5:16, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. So not only did he do it on these few occasions that we see specifically, going off to a mountain by himself, waking up early the one morning and going off, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. He made it a routine or a habit. He often did this. This wasn't something that, well, you know, I'm going through a lot of things right now, so now I'm going to go off to a lonely place. It was a part of the things that Jesus did. He regularly, routinely, often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. He recognized the importance, and we see from his patterns of behavior that he recognized the importance of prayer. He knew and understood how important prayer was. It doesn't say why it's important, it just says that he did it. And if Jesus Christ is that example for us, then we ought to be able to look to that and say, there must be something important about prayer. There must be something important about it if Jesus is often withdrawing to lonely places to pray. If he's often going off by himself and spending that time purposefully in prayer, there must be something about prayer that's important. Let's look at Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verse 12. It says, one of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. Again, we see him going off by himself. He goes to the mountainside. That seems to be the place where he likes to go. He goes off to the mountainside, and he spends the night praying to God. He spends that whole night in prayer and in conversation with God. Now, Jesus isn't the only one from the Word who we see making it a priority and a commitment to prayer. Go to Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1, we're going to see the disciples having this same habit, taking on some of these same behaviors as Jesus did. And it shouldn't be a surprise, because they're learning from Jesus. As he lives, they learn from him. And so the things that he does, they're learning to do as well. Acts chapter 1, verse 13. Acts 1:13 says, when they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. You see, so the disciples are also, they're joining together constantly in prayer. Anybody know what constantly means? Of course we do, all the time. They constantly, prayer was a part of the things that they did. They constantly joined together. Now it doesn't talk about them going off to solitary places, but it talks about them constantly joining together in prayer. I would say here at North Kent, on Sunday mornings, don't we constantly join together in prayer? We have prayer in one form or another every Sunday morning here at North Kent. We constantly join together in prayer. Most of our Bible studies and the times that we spend together, small groups, prayer is involved in that. It's a part of it because we recognize the importance of it. We recognize the importance of prayer, and so we constantly are joining together to pray. It's a regular part of the things that we do because we know and understand prayer is powerful. It's important. It builds our relationship with God. That prayer is a purposeful thing that we are able to be involved in and ought to be involved in. Over in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, speaking again of the disciples and the early church, which not just the 12 disciples or the 12 apostles, but the early church, the group of people who were believers in Christ. It says, they devoted themselves, in Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. So the early church was devoted to prayer. It wasn't just something that they did. It wasn't just a churchy thing that they did. They devoted themselves to it. They made it purposeful, and they made sure that prayer was a part of who they were. They made sure that prayer was a part of who they were, not only corporately, but certainly individually as well. Let's talk about that a little bit. We are the church body. Amen? We are the church body. And corporately, prayer is something that is important to us, important enough that it plays a part of our services. Prayer is important enough to us corporately that it plays a part in our services. But the truth of the matter is we as a church function not only corporately but individually as well. We function not only here on Sunday mornings. This isn't the only time that we are the church, correct? We're not North Kent Bible Church just when we happen to be here at 7210 Cortland Drive. This isn't the only time that we're North Kent Bible Church. We are a part of North Kent Bible Church every day of the week. And we're not corporately involved with the body, but we certainly represent not only the church here, but we represent the body of Christ in all the things that we do. And so it's important for us not only to corporately agree that prayer is a positive thing and a good thing, and so Sunday mornings we'll be sure that it's a part of our service and different Bible studies and different things that we do. We're purposeful in having prayer be a part of that. But also individually then, prayer ought to play an important part in our lives as well. Prayer ought to play an important part in my life as part of the body of Christ here at North Kent. Amen? So if we corporately agree that prayer is a positive thing, positive enough that we're going to be doing it regularly, then we individually ought to have some of that same mindset too. That prayer isn't just something that happens as one of the churchy things that we do for God on Sunday mornings, but it ought to be something that we do on a regular basis in our lives. Amen? Amen. In Acts chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, it talks about Cornelius and his family praying to God regularly, that they had made that an important thing in their lives personally as well. We're going to move on now to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. You see, the truth is we're able to look at the Word and see a whole bunch of people who regularly committed themselves to prayer. A whole bunch of people who regularly knew and understood and recognized the importance of prayer in their own lives. But I think it's important for us also to see why we ought to be doing that. Why is prayer as important as it seems many thought in the New Testament that it was? Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Here Paul is talking about prayer, and he's talking about the importance of prayer within our own lives, that in all things we shouldn't be anxious about anything, but rather our hearts ought to have thanksgiving to God as we pray to Him. And I'm rephrasing it a little bit. Don't be anxious about anything, but in all things, with thanksgiving, joyfully bring forth your prayers to God, your requests before Him. Is there anything in our lives that we have to be anxious about? Is there any stuff that happens which we would be able to be anxious about it if we wanted to or so chose? Plenty. Plenty of stuff. And yeah, all the time. And for each one of us, certainly it's different stuff. For each one of us, we all deal with different things in our lives, and we're all at different places in our lives where we're dealing with different things because of our surroundings and because of our families and because of stuff that's happening, because we all work in different places. I mean, most of us work in different places, and we're related to different people, and there's different things happening. But if we wanted to, there's plenty of stuff in our lives that we could be anxious about. And some of it not even personally. I mean, there's a ton of stuff personally. If we wanted to, we could be anxious about. There's a whole whack of stuff just in our world that we could be anxious about or worried about that maybe doesn't even impact us, we think, personally, but just a whole bunch of stuff out there happening that we could be worried about and anxious about. Right? Paul says, don't be anxious about anything. In all things with thanksgiving. All things with thanksgiving. I'll read it again. Verse 6, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. See that importance and significance of our hearts and our minds. They're guarded as we pray to God. They're guarded as we commit ourselves to our relationship with Him through prayer. How do we get to know people? We spend time with them. How do you get to know the favorite things of people around you? You watch them, you talk to them, you spend time with them, you build that relationship on purpose. Right? How did I woo Melinda? Thank you. I agree. Yeah. The blessings of the Lord shone upon me. It must be. Because who knows? I showed her my heart, and I looked for hers. I built that relationship with her through communication, through time together. I was purposeful. I was purposeful. I purposefully pursued her. I purposefully set my heart upon it. And I tried to build that relationship with her. With truth, not with lies. I could have told her I was really rich, and I could have told her I was really good looking, but she already met me. So that was already out the window. But I was committed to putting the time into her heart and into her life, and showing her mine, to build that relationship, which at first was started purposefully as a friendship. I didn't really, you know, from the time I met her, I didn't begin, okay, I'm going to do everything I can to marry her. That wasn't my initial response. But to build that relationship, because she was pretty cool. She still is. And I'm not just saying that so I could get a response. She's still pretty cool. But it took me being purposeful and spending that time with her. And that's how we build relationships with each other, too. It takes time. It takes us being purposeful. It takes us opening ourselves to each other and saying, here's who I am. And I know I'm kind of messy and grubby and I don't know, like inside and out. I don't know that you're going to like me, but here I am. This is who I am. And this is me. And talking and communicating and building that relationship with each other. It happens through communication. It happens through time. And the same is true of our relationship with God. It happens through communication, and it happens through time. It happens through us opening our hearts and saying, here I am, this is me. This is who I am. And seeking to know His heart as well. Seeking to know who He is and growing in a knowledge of who He is and what He wants and how He works and how He functions. It takes time and commitment. God's desire is our hearts. God's desire is our relationship with Him. That's the thing He wants. He doesn't want us to pray just to pray. He doesn't. God does not want us to pray just so we can check it off the list and say, I prayed today. He does not want that. He wants our connection with Him. He wants our relationship. He wants our hearts. He wants you. And He wants me. And prayer is about purposefully giving Him our hearts and communicating with Him and opening ourselves and quietly seeking Him. Prayer isn't just about talking. My relationship with Melinda is not just built on me talking to her. It's about listening as well. We know and recognize that that works in our relationships with other people. It works with God too. Not just talking to Him and saying, God, here's everything. Thanks, you're great. And going on our day. But purposefully, withdrawing to solitary places, spending time quietly with God, and spending time in the hubbub and hustle of work and everything that we deal with, even in those hectic times, praying with God and saying, God, here I am, and here's the stuff I need, and here's how awesome you are, and here's how much I rely on you and need you. Having the faith to recognize and understand that God hears us as we pray, and being able to put ourselves in a position where we recognize in ourselves, I have great need for you, God. And I believe that you're able to do all things. So prayer isn't about us just praying to pray. Prayer is about us building our relationship with God. And the same is true of studying the Word. The same is true of reading our Bibles. Reading our Bibles, it isn't just about us reading the Bible so that we can check it off the list of things to do today. I've read a lot of good novels. It's this one and this one and this one. Oh, and I read the Bible once in my life too. It's not a list of things that God desires. God desires for our hearts and our relationship with Him. And reading the Word is one of the ways in which we do that. Because we learn about who God is and how He works and how He loves us and how important we are to Him. And the desires that He has for us so that we'll live a life on the right path and in a place of blessing. In a place in which we'll be built up and be able to minister to people around us as well. Let's look at a few verses that talk about the Word. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. First Thessalonians is a good verse. Go ahead, if you're keeping notes today, go ahead and write it down. It talks about us praying continually and praying consistently. And it's not that I don't like it. We're just going to pass it by. So if you're keeping notes, go ahead and write that verse down. It's a good one. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. It says, all Scripture is God-breathed. And it is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. All Scripture is God-breathed. This Bible is inspired by God, written by God, given by God. The words that you find in these pages, this is the heart of God written down. It's knowing Him and how He functions and operates. It's knowing the desire that He has. It's knowing how He's able to equip you for every good work. It's knowing how you can be ready for every situation because God has a plan and an intention and a design. And he says, this is what it is. And here's who I am. This is God talking to us. You know that? This is God talking to us. All Scripture is God-breathed. He breathes it into being and into existence. He writes it and says, this is for you. This is me. This is my heart. At the core of the Word, we find Jesus Christ over and over and over again. The Old Testament points to Him. The New Testament displays who He is and gives us hope for the future as well. The whole of the Word displays God's heart and His design, and ultimately at the core of God's heart and at the core of God's love is His Son, Jesus Christ. And the Word displays that to us and shows that to us so that we can know God, so that our hearts and our relationships with Him can be built up. So if you go home today and you say, the pastor said I need to read the Bible, so I'm going to read the Bible so I can get that done today. If that's your heart about it, you've missed my point. If you go home and say, I need to pray and read the Bible because the pastor said I did. I need to pray and read the Bible because I'm pretty sure God wants me to, so I'll put it on the list so that I can cross it off so that I can watch the football game. If that's your heart behind it, you've missed the whole point of prayer and reading of the Word. Because God's whole point is a relationship with us. That's the desire that He has. That's how prayer works. That's how our relationships with God are built. They're built through our spending time with Him. And most often that's displayed in prayer and in the reading of the Word. Those aren't the only ways that we draw closer to God. Those aren't the only ways we know about Him. But those are two key parts in building our relationship with Him. Because in both ways there's communication. In both ways there's a time commitment. In both ways we're opening our hearts to Him. In 2 Peter chapter 1, go ahead and turn there, 2 Peter chapter 1. Verses 20 and 21. There in Timothy we saw all Scripture is God-breathed. It has its origin in Him because He's the one who writes it and breathes it, and it comes into being because of Him. In 2 Peter we get a little bit more of a glimpse of how that happened or how that occurred. It says in verse 20 of chapter 1 of 2 Peter, "Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man. But men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." Men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So God used the prophets, and He used Moses, and He used the writers of the Old Testament. He used Paul and Luke and Matthew and the writers of the New Testament. He used them to get His Word, to get the Bible message, the truth of God's heart and who He is, out there. And it was as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. They were inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. And so they wrote only the things that God wanted them to write. It was awesome and miraculous. And I praise God that He revealed Himself and His Son Jesus Christ to us through His Word. But it's not for putting on a bookshelf and keeping it there. It's not for putting out on the dining room table as a witness to the people that come to our house. It's not to bring with us and make sure that we try to turn to every page as you hear a preacher, whether it's me or anybody else. God's desire is our heart and our relationship with Him. And so Scripture is to draw us to Him. And we are benefited greatly as we are drawn to God. Remember, it equips us for works of service. It brings us comfort and strength, as prayer does. God's Word, where the intention and design is to draw us to God, blesses us in so many ways as we commit ourselves to it. As we commit ourselves to live by it, as we commit ourselves to putting His Word in our relationship with Him in our hearts, His Word works in us, and as we follow it, and as we look to it for direction and leadership in our lives, it brings us comfort and strength and direction and heads us on the right path, on a path of blessing and greatness and victory. Has anybody ever read it and recognized that to be true? If you have, say amen. Amen. And so as we consider prayer and consider reading the Word, and Hebrews 4:12 talks about the Word of God judging the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. In Matthew chapter 7, 24 and 25, Matthew chapter 7 is the last of about three chapters of Jesus teaching what's called the Sermon on the Mount, where he teaches about life and our hearts. And he gets to the end and he tells a parable about two builders, one building a house on a rock and one building the house on the sand. Well, the house on the sand doesn't have a firm foundation, so when the stuff of life occurs, what happens? It falls flat. The house built on the rock stands firm because it's built on that firm foundation. Jesus tells that parable because he's talking about the things that he was teaching that day. And so where he had a very specific application, that same application can be brought to the whole of the Word of God. That the Word of God, as we build our lives and build our direction and our purpose and our goals in the Word of God, then we're building on a firm foundation. And so our house will stand as stuff happens around us and as trouble comes around us. So that's what Matthew chapter 7, those verses there are about. God's primary desire is us and our hearts. And I would encourage you then to be very purposeful in your prayer time, in your commitment to prayer, in your prayer personally and within your family, to your prayer and the things that you do and in the areas of life that you experience, which is everything, that prayer would become an important part of that, not so that you can check it off a list, but so that you can display your faith to God and draw closer to His heart. And the same with the reading of the Word. If that hasn't been a commitment to you because maybe you haven't felt like you've had the time or the desire to do it, I would encourage you to start. And not because it just sounds like a good churchy thing to do, but because we learn the heart of God in His Word. We learn about who He is and His plan of salvation through Jesus Christ, His plan of wholeness for us in every aspect of our lives. So I'd encourage you then to consider prayer and the reading of the Word and begin committing them to your own life and to your own walk with God so that your heart would draw closer to Him, so that your heart would be in a place where it's open to Him in all things. Amen? Amen. Let's pray this morning. Great and mighty God, we recognize the Bible as your word. We recognize that it comes from you. We proclaim it to be true and accurate. And even though the world attempts to fight against it and say that it's false and that it comes from some other source than you, the world also says that you don't exist. And we recognize that that is completely untrue. So, Father, we stand on the truth of your word. We recognize it as you sharing your heart and your plan and your desire with us. Father, we recognize too the importance of prayer in drawing closer to you. God, help us to build that relationship that you long for and we do as well. Help us to build that with you. God, today we give you thanks and we offer you our hearts. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.